Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour or perhaps 2 hours, are going to be the views of Ted Shobat. Ted, how are you tonight?
I'm all right, yourself?
I'm doing just fine, and of course, Ted, we've talked to Ted's father in the past. We haven't, who's Waleed Shobat, we haven't talked to Ted in the past, but he has a message he wants to share with you. So, Ted, you sort of pick the story up there.
Would you like to talk about the book?
We want you to talk about the book.
Well, okay, well, the name of the book is called For God or For Tyranny. It took me about 2 years to finish, and it is really about what the nature of evil is and how in the Bible we find a perfect blueprint for how tyranny works and how tyranny functions. And one of the first things that I put in is a story from the book of Genesis, which talks about how in the land of Shinar there were these people who lived in the plain of Shinar. They lived in the plain, and they began to build a tower, and they said, let us build a name for ourselves. They all had one language. They were one tribe, and God didn't like what was going on, and he created what we call nationalism. He dispersed the languages. He broke up the tribes, broke the people into different tribes, different languages, and he, in a sense, created what I believe is nationalism, national pride. And I believe that what tyranny does is it has the masses conform in unison to the tyrant. And that this idea that we are one people in one, one tribe, one language. If you look at what happened in Nazi Germany, Hitler wanted to unite his people under one language, German, under one leader himself, under one ideology. And Muhammad, the prophet, also said the same thing. Hitler believed in what the Nazis called a Gleichschaltung, which is a coordinated community, everybody working as one, in unison. And in the Hadith, we hear about the Ummah, or the Islamic community, in which, according to Muhammad, in the Hadith, Sahih Muslim, to be exact, Muhammad the Prophet says that the Ummah is like one human body. If the eye has pain, the rest of the body comes and destroys that pain. And the idea that of forcing society to conform as a body politic is really one of the great emphases of despotism, of tyrannical government. In the book, The Social Contract, which is really the Bible of what we call liberalism or leftism, written by a Frenchman in the 18th century by the name of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. This book called The Social Contract really became the Bible for liberalism or leftism. And
I can go right ahead. I certainly think what you're saying is absolutely right. I think that people don't understand that God established national sovereignty, and this was after the Great Flood, after Noah had tried to unite the world under his control.
Right.
He created the Tower of Babel. He was going to have everybody building this great temple, and God did not want the world to be united. And so he gave them different languages. One of the most interesting things is that if you study languages, which I'm not a linguist, but the people who do, say they all came from a common denominator. And so they would suggest about 4,000 years ago, a little over 4,000 years ago, which would correspond to that era when God intervened and gave us nationhood. Go right ahead, Ted. I picked the story up from there.
Well,
you were talking about Jean-Jacques Rousseau,
right,
Rousseau in his book, The Soul.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Basically, they wanted the state to be all-powerful. Supposedly, the state would exist for the people, and there would be a communal society. Everybody would work for the common good. But in reality, it just doesn't work. This is what socialism advocates. Socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work unless somebody's in charge. Which is why so many people of great wealth are actually working to push socialism, not because they want to redistribute their wealth, but because they want to redistribute your wealth and they want to be able to control you, which is the antithesis of the American system, which has limited the power of government so men could be free. And people of great wealth in the United States have been financing socialism for years. This is what most people don't understand. And many of our great corporations are financing socialism. And you look and see all these people of great wealth. And what are they doing? They're financing foundations that are financing socialism. Why? Because if they can undermine the basic structure of our government, if they can convince America, the American people, that we are a democracy, which we're not, we're a republic, we can, of course, justify centralizing all power in government, and then, of course, those people who have the most money can buy the politicians, which is why we have today in Washington, D.C., the finest politicians money could buy. Go right ahead,
Tim. That's pretty well put. But, you know, if you look at Rousseau, who heavily influenced the French Revolution, he was also influenced by Islam. And that's really what I'm trying to get at, is that the reason why we see the left today allying so strongly with the Islam in the Western world is not because the left are stupid. They're actually quite educated. It's really because they both have a common goal, and that is the destruction of Christianity. When Rizzo was writing his book, Social Contract, if you read the book, it's very short, but if you read the book, it talks about how Muhammad's ideas were very sane. He describes Muhammad's ideas as sane, but he at the same time will describe Christ's ideas as destructive. And he actually describes Christianity as the most rebellious spirit, or actually the biggest obstacle to his utopian state. And it's very interesting when we see, for example, Obama talking about how he wants to make Americans citizens not of America, but of the world. It's very dangerous when you have those kinds of beliefs. They want to destroy the borders. And right when you destroy borders, right when you make everybody one nation, and there's no other nation, no other country, then what happens is that it's very, very easy for a dictator to control you. It's very easy. So that's why it's so dangerous. As a matter of fact, what Islam wants to do is it wants to unite all the languages. And the reason why they want to unite all the languages is because it's easier to control. Machiavelli, Niccolo Machiavelli, in his book, The Prince, which is the perfect book for any brutal dictator, he says that if you want to control a people, the easiest way is to conquer a nation that speaks the same language as you. And that is a very dangerous thing about unifying languages. So when we hear people say, nationalism is evil, nationalism is racism, those people want to create a non-border world or a universalist utopia, and it's very, very dangerous.
I certainly concur with you, basically, because there is an organized effort in America today to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and to destroy the belief of our children in God. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. That is why they took the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's why it's perfectly all right to teach Sunni evolution in our schools, but don't you dare mention creation. That's why it's perfectly all right to certainly teach the Muslim faith and even have the children compose Muslim prayers, but not to pray to Jesus Christ, because Christianity is the barrier to the establishment of this authoritarian society. These people hate Christianity because it offers freedom, and they don't want freedom. They want a ruling elite that's going to control the masses. Would you agree, Ted?
Yes, and I would also like to add that the theory of evolution is very intricate in the leftist idea, because if you believe in evolution, if you believe that all human beings can evolve biologically, that means that you have to believe that we evolve ideologically or morally. If we evolve ideologically, means our ideas evolve, then that means that nothing is absolute. So if nothing is absolute, because all things evolve, including morals and including ideas, that means the Constitution must evolve. And if the Constitution must evolve, who is to dictate what it evolves to? And in the Darwinist utopia, it would be the elite. It would be the people considered the higher class or the higher race, the elite. And that's why if you look at all of the philosophers who have, whether it be Friedrich Nietzsche or whether it be Heidegger, all of the great philosophers, the famous philosophers that believed in evolution, believed in an idea of the elite. Michael Foucault, Alexis Carrel, French philosopher, who heavily influenced the Said Qutb, the number one idealist for the Muslim Brotherhood, the main ideologue for the Muslim Brotherhood, was heavily influenced by an evolutionist. Why? Because Carroll believed that the society must be ran by elitists, and it would be the elitists who dictate what our morality is and what is good for us, what is better for us. And Said Qutb believed in that, and he believed that in the Ummah, or the Islamic community, the world must be governed under the elite, the Islamic elite, over the masses. So the idea of evolution is really the idea that the government should dictate what is better for you, because whoever is ruler, because might makes right, whoever is the ruler, the supreme ruler, knows better than the inferior people, and therefore knows more about morality. That's why the evolutionist philosopher Herbert Spencer, who actually was the one who coined the term survival of the fittest. He believed that all constitutions need to evolve and that it needs to be dictated because the people themselves do not know what's good for them. Therefore, it needs to be dictated by an elite group, an oligarchy. And Herbert, you know, that's why in America we have so many leftists saying we need to change the Constitution, we need to alter the Constitution, because they believe in evolution.
Well, I think
they believe that nothing is absolute.
What they really want to do is tell us we have a living, breathing Constitution, and times have changed since the Constitution was written, and therefore the Constitution has to change. But, of course, what they failed to point out is that if they want to change the Constitution, it should be done with the consent of the population. Are there vehicles for changing the Constitution, for amending the Constitution? But these people don't want to, of course, do this legally. They want to do it by edict, because they want a dictatorship, and this is really what it's all about. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America, a small group who will determine what is going to happen, because their loyalty is not to America, but it is really to this idea of creating a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion, because, of course, this whole thing fits in together. These people have an intense hatred of the God of the Bible. And I believe many of them want to install, ultimately, a one-world ruler. And basically, of course, these are traitors. They're subversive elements. But nobody has the courage to call these people who are really working to change the structure of our government, who have seized control of both political parties, the military, the banking system, the corporations, the educational system, the great tax-exempt foundations, and both political parties. Nobody has the courage to call them subversives, but in my estimation, that's what they are. But certainly, basically, they can go right along. They can work with the Muslims, because down the line, I believe they're going to try to destroy the Muslim faith. I think we're being set up now for a war with the Muslim world. That's what this Arab Spring's all about. And anybody who believes, of course, the revolution is taking place over there are spontaneous. Why, I have a submarine I'd like to offer them for sale, but go right ahead there, Ted.
You know, hold on a sec. But to believe in this idea that, if the idea is that all morality is changeable or alterable, that means nothing is absolute. Therefore, individualism is not absolute. Therefore, private property is not absolute. And therefore, there is no God. Because if there is no God, then there is no absolute. Because in order for there to be absolute, there needs to be an absolute creator. If everything just came here randomly, then that means nothing is really certain. If everything came here without a divine ordainer, nothing is really ordained. So everything is just, you know, a random pile of chemicals. So once you believe in that, then you can believe that anything can really be changed. And it's very dangerous to have a government that believes in these ideas, which is why they want to get rid of the Second Amendment. Because they think, well, we don't need that anymore. But the very dangerous thing about taking out the Second Amendment, and that's really another thing when we study tyranny, is that they all believe in some kind of strong gun control. Hitler in 1935 made weapons illegal, even for the average German. When the Turks, before they were going to massacre the Armenians, they took away the guns from the Armenians. And the Armenians, actually, once they got a hold of guns, that's when the massacres really began to gradually cease, and that's when the Turks really began to lose and began to lose their own lives because the Armenians were fighting back. So the taking away of guns is most definitely a sign for a future institution of some sort of tyranny.
And once they take away. Go ahead. In fact, here, there's something, 45 or 52 shootings in in New York City this last week. And Mayor Bloomberg said, we've got to get the guns off the streets. Why, they have the strictest gun laws in the whole country right there in New York. What's he going to do now? We'll be back. Maybe he ought to arm the people. Ted, you go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about gun control and the importance really of gun control. If you look at even Hitler himself, like I said before, he made guns illegal.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
First, Ted shows a similarity between this, between the philosophy that is being espoused today in America and the Islamic belief, of course, which would have everybody subservient to the state, and the state and the religion certainly are one, and certainly the similarity between that and the Nazi belief, where, of course, there the state supplanted God, and everybody was to be subservient to the Nazi government, to their leaders, just as the Islamists were. What most people don't understand is that there was, certainly during the Second World War, a very close relationship between the Islamists, between the Arabs, and the Nazis. In fact, the Arabs were aligned with the Nazis. And what most people don't understand is the Nazi movement, or at least the ideas of the Nazi movement, live on. And there is still this very close relationship between the Nazis and the Arabs. And those of you who have not read The Power Elite and certainly a book written by my good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, The Power Elite and certainly the secret Nazi plan. We have it in. We think it's an important book. The Nazis planned on losing the war in 1942, and they laid out how the plan would be implemented in two generations. It's being implemented today, and the fact that most people don't understand this and how it ties into the power elite simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. The book, again, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan by our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Our guest is Ted Shobat. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ted, you're right ahead.
Well, we were talking about because the Nazis, they actually believed that the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, that these ideas were just weak-minded Jewish beliefs that needed to be gotten rid of. And because of that, and because also, a very important idea in the book of Genesis, a very, very intricate idea to the preservation of civilization, is the idea that God made man in his image. Once you believe in that, then you believe that human beings are special. And once you believe that human beings are special, that they need special treatment over animals. But once you equate human beings to animals, or once you make human beings inferior to animals, then that is when human life becomes nothing. That is when killing human beings doesn't seem that difficult. It makes killing much simpler, which is why in Germany they begin to implement laws on limits on how hot you can, you know, boil a lobster, because they didn't want to, you know, hurt the poor lobster. Even Richard Wagner, the famous composer, who was filled with fervor for the Nazi movement, believed that the idea that God making man in his own image was very evil, because it enabled man to be cruel to animals. So by getting rid of this idea, then it made human beings easier to kill, because they were no different than animals, they were inferior to animals, and who cares about them? So the idea that God made man in his own image is very intricate to civilization, because once man becomes equal to animals, then it is easier to slaughter, you know, masses of human beings, because they're just like animals, or they're inferior to animals. Very dangerous idea. Again, also, when you look at the Aztec religion, or the Mesoamerican religion, on how the Aztecs massacred over 25,000 people a year, the reason why they did such things was because of the gods that they worshipped. They worshipped Mother Earth, they worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon. The naturistic deities have been and are still a huge, very significant in the massacres of human beings. Even the Islamic religion themselves are very naturistic. Many people think that Islam is an Abrahamic faith, like Christianity, but this is not true. Islam is a very paganistic religion. If you look at the Kaaba, and you look at what's inside the Kaaba, this is the holiest image in all of Islamic religion, in Mecca. It is a fertility symbol, and it represents the goddess Venus. And the Christian writer, John of Damascus, who was there when Muhammad first made his cult, identified the Kaaba as a symbol of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess. And, of course, this goes back to nature worship. It really goes back to the idea that the sun...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
He wants to set up his own ideas on how to live his life. Would that be a fairly good analysis, Peel?
Yeah, it's getting pretty close.
All right, fine. Well, let's get Ted's response to that, because my belief is that freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do or what I want to do. Freedom is the ability to do what you should do according to God's rules, and only when you do that can you be free. Otherwise, of course, you're going to fall under a tyranny of one sort or another. But Ted Shobat, how would you respond to Peel, who says that he wants to set up his own rules according to his religious beliefs, whatever they are?
Well, I think that Peel has every right to, we're living in America, and he has every right to follow his own moral code. That's fine. But I wouldn't want somebody who wants to follow his own moral code, for example, writing up the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, which says that we are given unalienable rights by our Creator. To write down a Constitution or to write down a document such as the Declaration of Independence, you would have to have something, you would have to have a belief, really, in an absolute Creator. Because without, like I said earlier, without an absolute Creator, there is no really absolute laws. If Peel wants to follow his own moral code, that's fine. But because it is Peel's moral code, that means it is alterable, which means that anybody can come in the future, any preponderant can come in the future and change and alter those laws, because those are Peel's laws. Peel is a man, he is a human being, and he is not the eternal Creator. But if you create a document and says, well, these laws are based on the rules of the eternal Creator, then those laws are etched in stone and they are unalterable. That is the difference between you know, we're talking about government here. We're not talking about individual beliefs. But when you're talking about a government and what the laws that you need to compose when you are writing up the rules for a government, such as a republic, as you know, like America, you need to base your laws on an authority. When you're writing a book, you just don't write anything you want. You're writing nonfiction, that is. You don't write anything you want. You write your book with references. Those references are based on an authority.
Okay, let Peel respond to that, and then we'll let him go. But Peel, you go ahead. Say what you'd like to say.
I went and plugged in my phone and was about to die. I'll use some terms that maybe you use more often, like a rock, right? Religion, you want a rock. Where's my rock? Hold on to the rock. Oh, Elijah.
I didn't say that, but go ahead.
You want absolute. You want something that's there and that can't. You don't want all this like evolution and evolving and whiskey changing and hearsay and thrown all over. I get that. It sounds like we're talking about a box. We're drawing out a box and telling people to live within it. Like
and you don't want any rules. You want to make your own rules.
I just want to, everybody knows right and wrong.
Now wait a minute, everybody doesn't know right and wrong. Well, certainly a lot of people think it's perfectly all right to kill. I had one of my patients here, a very nice young man. He killed about 12 women here, dismembered them, threw them in the ocean. That was all right with him. He saw nothing wrong with that. A nice kid, Ted Kemper. In fact, I operated on him. So basically, but he had his own set of rules. But basically, Peel, I just hope you'll keep listening to our program, and maybe as time goes by, you'll begin to understand the foundation of America, which obviously you never learned in school. Our founding fathers believed that you only way to be free was to follow God's rules. You can have your own rules if you want to, but if enough people do that, then the whole structure of society collapses. But go ahead, make a parting thought, and then we'll let you go.
I don't believe all our founding fathers agreed with each other.
But they signed the Constitution, didn't they?
They got as close as they could, just as the way you got as close as you could to sum up what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm sure that not all of them had unshakable faith.
Well, most of them did. There were a couple that did not, but most of them did. But anyway, have you really studied the foundation of this country? Have you studied what happened at the Constitutional Convention?
I'm just learning. All right.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Georgiana Bruce Kirby Preparatory School.
All right, fine. Well, I just hope that you keep listening to the program. Will you appeal and give us a call from time to time? Right now, we've got Bill from Washington State on the line. Bill, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a comment about the saying that people on the left, the reason that they are against holding the Muslims without due process, that this is due to an alliance with Islam to destroy Christianity. I don't believe that. I think that they genuinely don't want to see the civil rights or the constitutional rights of anyone violated. It might be true that they do have an anti-Christian worldview, but I think that a lot of people on the left are genuinely concerned about losing rights for everyone, and this is the reason that they oppose the treatment of Muslims, especially in the secret bases where our military is torturing them. And I think we have to be careful when we say Muslims are pagans, because this is a way to dehumanize people, to kill them, and this is what our military is doing. So
I believe
there is a world government coming in, a global police state, but I seriously think that people need to be careful about dehumanizing Muslims, because they are people in God's image, and after all, it's Satan that wants to destroy Christianity, not Muslims.
All right, Ted, how would you address it, what Bill is saying?
Well,
Bill is very concerned about the mistreatment of the Muslims. Certainly, we've justified torture. We've justified rendition, sending people all over the world to be tortured. And it's only the liberals speak out. You never hear the Christians speak out against torture. You never hear the Christians speak out against against the wars. They all seem to think the wars against the Muslims are perfectly justified. How would you address Bill?
Well, for one thing, I wasn't dehumanizing any individual. I'm simply stating facts. Islam is technically a pagan religion. If you study the writings, or read the writings of John of Damascus, who lived...
But these are human beings.
This is my point. Bill, please don't interrupt. We didn't interrupt you. But basically, it is certainly a pagan religion in the fact that, but it doesn't mean that people are necessarily bad. It means that they've accepted a different religion. They worship a different God than the Christians do. We could go right ahead. Go ahead, make your point, Ted, and then we'll let Bill have his say again.
If you study the history of Islam, the Muslims holocausted all of the Jews, pretty much all of the Jews of Arabia. Muhammad slaughtered the Banu Qurayza tribe. So by its very essence, by its very nature, Islam is an anti-Semitic and also an anti-human religion. I'm not the one who is dehumanizing people. It's the Muslims that are the ones that are dehumanizing people, which is why the Turks slaughtered millions of Armenians, which is why they slaughtered millions of Assyrian Christians, simply because of their faith. Sir, how come you are not speaking against the Muslims? How come you're calling up this show, talking bad about me, accusing me of... Well, I'm not saying you're talking bad about me, but you're accusing me of dehumanizing people. I never called the Muslims pigs. I've never called the Muslims sons of swine or monkeys. It's the Muslims in their own scriptures, in the Quran and the Hadith, that say that Christians and Jews are swine. A matter of fact, if you read the Hadith, the Mahdi, according to Muhammad, will slaughter the Christians, who they describe as swine, the Jews also as swine. He will destroy the cross, and he will take property and distribute that throughout the whole world. He wants to create a utopia in which human life is nothing, which is why Muhammad said that those who die in battle will not see death, they will enter paradise, that the most assured way to salvation is to die while fighting. It is the Muslims that are dehumanizing people, not me, sir.
All right, fine. Bill, go right ahead.
There's plenty of dehumanization going on this country. I don't know. Are you in the United States?
I'm not going to say my location.
Okay.
Here in the United States,
Americans are paying taxes to kill Muslims in wars where we've invaded. We're at war in 75 countries. Our special operations are murdering people all over the world, murdering Muslims. They're killing women and children. They're assassinating with drones. There's no due process. And what I'm saying is that the dehumanization thrust in America has been so far against Muslims in this war on terror that threatens to, in some future date, come after Christians as well, because that's how it starts. With the Holocaust, first it was the communists, then it was the liberals, then it was so-and-so, until it came right down to the Christians. And because the Christians didn't speak out, there was nobody left to speak out for the Christians.
Wait a minute, Bill. I think your points are well made. Could I just clarify a couple of things? Have you ever read the Quran or the Hadith?
I haven't, and I'm not saying that I agree with the Islamic religion either. I just disagree with all of this killing that's going
on. You're absolutely right, and certainly I hope you'll continue to listen to your program. You are absolutely right, but this has nothing to do with America or Christianity. Our government has been taken over by a group of very evil people. And you're right, we do have our special forces teams in 75 nations, and they are professional killers or professional assassins. I talk to them, and they're trained to be assassins. But this has nothing to do with America. It has to do with these groups that have taken control of America. My first criticism is that our Christian leaders are not speaking out against it. That's because they infiltrated our seminaries many years ago, and they've misled so many of our Christian leaders. And, of course, the major Christian organizations in America have been subverted. And I would simply use as one example the National Associations of Evangelical Christians, a 30 million member organization of evangelical Christians headed by a cocaine smoking a homosexual named Taggart. We got real problems in America, Bill. We need to get back to the idealism that once made America the envy of the world and expose these evil people who are working behind the scenes. But I would simply make one statement, and that is that these people have been financing the Muslim Brotherhood going back to 1926 when it was formed. We have a book called The Devil's Game. I hope you want to get it and read about how this whole thing has been financed by the Anglo-American establishment. And there really are other forces in the world having nothing to do with Christianity, having nothing to do with America, but they've seized control of our government. Hey, thanks very much for calling, and please keep listening, okay?
Okay, I just felt that I had to speak my part there, so.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
And thanks. I think, of course, Ted, there are a lot of people out there who feel very strongly. They do not understand, certainly, that the ideas of, certainly, of the Muslim faith are incompatible with individual freedom, such as we have here in America. Would that be a fair statement?
There are many people in America who don't understand because they don't read about it.
Right. And I know you've studied this, and you and your dad both have, and you feel very strongly about it. Go ahead.
I do. I'm very passionate about it as well. And if there's a verse in the Tanakh, it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And it's very dangerous. It's very scary when you have so many people who just don't, they're just ahistorical. In the times of Chesterton or times of Edward Gibbon, the Western societies of America and England were very historical. They believed in the philosophy of history. See, there's a difference when we look at historians today. Pretty much all of them, very few are not this way, but pretty much all of them do not believe in the philosophy of history. They believe that history is simply a study of random acts that have happened in the world. And if you look at the older school of studying history, the philosophy of the older school is that studying history is no different than studying action and reaction. If somebody does this, this is what's going to happen. And if you look at history, it's really the same pattern that really goes on. This government did this, this is what happened. This people did this, the government did this. And if you really look deep into it, history within itself is a philosophy. History is not just a study of acts that happened in the past. History is a moral philosophy. It is really the study of morality, if you think about it, because when you study how, this society acted morally in this way, this is what happened. The Aztecs in ancient times, their morality was based in the worship of nature. And because their morality was based on the naturistic deities in that country, their morality therefore had no foundation, and it ended up with the killings of millions of innocent people. And what happens when you have a society that corrupt and that decrepit is another society more moral than they will come and take it over. And that's exactly what happened. The Spaniards came to Mexico and conquered that country, and thank God that they did, because if they didn't, the Aztec civilization would have destroyed itself from within. More people would have died, and that whole land, because the Aztec civilization, a little bit before the Spaniards came, was really destroying itself within. They were killing each other like no other. They were depleting the human population around them because of the heavy amounts of human sacrifices. They were dumping the bodies in the water supply. They were diseased. The civilization did not, though they were very intelligent in some ways, they did not have harmony within their civilization, within their society. Spain, though it, I'm sure it had problems of its own, had more because they were founded on a much sterner rock, much sterner foundation. I was saying to the caller, Peel, I want to finish what I was trying to say, is that when you write a book, let's say on archaeology, when you want to write a book on archaeology, you don't make up your own thing. You don't say, well, I don't care what these authorities who are archaeologists themselves say. I'm my own boss. I'm making my own rules. And you start writing rubbish, then the book is not about archaeology. It's rubbish. It's nonsense. When you write a book on archaeology, you have to read the authorities of archaeology.
I think that's so true. Basically, of course, the tragedy is today that so many people really don't get an adequate education. Most young people do not understand the foundations of our freedom. Certainly, Peel didn't think that many of the founders were Christians. They were almost all Christians. They were of different sects of Christianity. There were a few who were not. And there were as few people who belonged to the mystery religions who were here and intent upon one day using America as the foundation to bring about this one world government. We're talking about 1776 and 1787, but that has nothing to do. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, you go right ahead, Ted. We've got about 3 minutes more to this section of the program. Do you want to stay for the next hour? Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You can get it at Amazon.com, Shootbot.com, and also World Net Daily has the book as well.
All right, fine. For God, if you're tearing in Sydney, then you get this on the internet, go to your search engine. Does Amazon have it?
Yes, they do.
All right, fine. God bless, and we'll be back here and right after the break. But this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. If you're out there across America or across the world, I got something today from a lady over in Israel told me that she has talked to a number of people over there who listen to our internet program in Israel and how much they enjoyed it. I talked to a lady from Chile today, and she actually said that she listens to our program down there, so we know we have lots of listeners out across America and certainly throughout the world, and what a privilege it is to be able to reach people. But my goal is to try to reach as many people here in America, because the future of humanity is going to be determined by what happens in the United States. And unfortunately, of course, so many of our people really have no idea what is really going on. And the only thing that's going to change America is a massive revival. I'm firmly convinced of that. But at least we need to have people informed. They have to know there's a problem and from whence that problem comes. And so basically we got a call today from a gentleman who has a radio station down in the Riverside area, of Riverside, Palm Springs, and three or four other countries down there wants us to come on, because it costs, well, we got a fairly good price on it, but we need to have pledges so that we can stay on the station at least 6 months. So if you're out there and you would like to help Radio Liberty get onto a station down in that part of the country, and that would give us six stations here, just in California alone, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you could make a one-time donation or make a pledge for 6 months, so we'll know we'll have the funding for it. And it's a good station. Our friend Joyce Riley, Pat Butch Parr are on it. And I think that certainly we would have something to add. It's that they do primarily talk radio, and they are sympathetic with our message. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, make a pledge to help us be there. Why, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we want you to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand that there really are secret societies. And there's one primary one that really runs the American government today, and because that ties into the secret society created by Cecil John Rhodes. And we know that he created it because, of course, we've been tracking this, and we've traveled back to Georgetown University and gone through Professor Quigley's papers there. And we've been to Yale University and went through Colonel House's papers. We went back to New York City and went through the papers at the Harold Pratt House at 5086 8th Street, the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. We read their publications, we talk to their members, and we will tell you exactly what they're planning. And so basically you listen to our programs. One thing I will tell you is they're going to bring poverty to America. They're going to bring austerity and lower living standards to America. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to realize that they're in the process of going ahead and destroying the value of our currency. And when they do that, of course, terrible things are going to happen to most of our citizens. We're trying to warn people to certainly take the defensive action they can. But to understand behind everything going on today are powerful supernatural spiritual forces. And we're involved in a battle between good and evil. And I hope that you'll be involved on the good side. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our program certainly 24 hours a day by one means or another. And then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful. From the mountain to the prairie,
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ted Shobat, of course, who's written a book on freedom and tyranny, and of course, they're going to be your views as well, because we'll be opening the lines. If you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the basic theme tonight is, what is freedom all about? Where does freedom come from? And can you make up your own rules? Can you make up your own religion? Certainly, Ted, his dad was a Palestinian terrorist, and basically he became a Christian and has moved to the United States. He's written lectures extensively on this subject of the Palestinian terrorist movement and their threat to Israel, but certainly the Muslim threat to Western civilization. And certainly there are a lot of good people who are Muslims, but they're trapped in this system. They can't get out of the system. I will tell you, though, that there are a lot of Palestinians, there's a lot of Muslims who are becoming Christians today, and we get this from people over in Palestine. We get this people from people in other countries. More and more Muslims are looking for an answer to what's going on, and more of them are finding release from the oppression of the Muslim religion, which basically holds people in control through fear, not by love, but by fear. You are never certain you're going to go to heaven. You know that hell is a terrible place of eternal damnation and punishment. But, of course, the only way you can ever be sure you're not going to hell or you're going to go to heaven is to die in jihad, killing the enemies of Allah. So let's go right now to Assis, who's calling us from Illinois. Hey, do you have a question or comment?
I have both a question and a comment. I'm actually Muslim.
You're a Muslim? Okay.
And I just heard this entire thing you said about Muslims. I found it was very one-sided and completely, I don't know the word this way.
Well, basically, is it true in the Quran and in the Hadith they called Christians and Jews pigs?
Absolutely not. In fact, Christians and Jews are considered equals in every way. In fact, they should be just as respected as other Muslims.
But I thought that in a Muslim country, they had to pay a special tax and they were not first-class citizens.
Just because it's in the country doesn't mean it's what the whole religion believes. Because with the countries, they tend to, like, especially Arab countries, they tend to take a religion, they tend to just put it all the way there. Like in Saudi Arabia, women are not allowed to drive, and that's obviously not good law. That's because they said that men and women should not be together while they worship.
I see. I thought that certainly, yeah, the Hadith and the Shira and it's under Shira law and under the Quran, it's all right to stone a woman together to death if she's caught in adultery. It's all right to cut off hands and feet and for people who steal things. Is that true or not?
It's completely untrue.
All right, fine. Let's go to Ted. He comes from a Muslim family. Ted, how would you address this? He's who's a Muslim who says that certainly none of these things about Christians and Jews being second-class citizens, being taxed differently than the regular Muslim would, and this idea that certainly a woman can be stoned to death or being caught in adultery, and that they do justify cutting off hands and feet for various crimes. How would you respond? Aziz says it isn't true. It is not in the Quran. It is not. Is this practiced in Muslim countries? Do they actually cut off? Do they cut off hands and feet in Muslim countries today?
Yes, but that has nothing to do with the Quran, because the idea is the Quran is not supposed to be taken literally.
All right, fine.
Let me answer the question.
Let Aziz get his statement, and then we'll attempt to respond. Aziz, go right ahead. What do you want to say?
Well, like, let me think. I'm just going to use a Bible reference because that will make more sense to everyone. Like in Genesis. Now, I'm not going to, like, denounce anything, but I'm just saying that I'm not totally sure there wasn't really an apple and Eve and took the apple and stuff. Well, all the Genesis is saying is it just wants for you to know what will happen if you defy God. It's not saying that this physically happened.
Basically, are do women have equal rights in the Muslim faith?
In a Muslim country, but if you go to any other mosque in the United States, because I live in the United States, they're completely equal.
They're completely equal? Is it true that a man can have four wives and he can divorce his wife by saying...
I don't know, right?
What?
You must have been watching Jeff Dunham or something.
That is not true, then.
It's not true for most Muslims. If you go to, like, Egypt or some other Arabian country, they don't really recognize women's rights, and that's really bad. But, like, it doesn't say that in the Quran. In fact, in the Quran, and what Muhammad was teaching, he was saying that women are just as equal as men.
I see now. Have you lived in a mosque country? Or which Muslim countries have you visited?
I've been to Pakistan.
You've been to Pakistan?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Ted, how would you respond to Aziz?
Well, the gentleman is from Pakistan, and I have read up on what's going on in Pakistan. But no, they have really have been enforcing greatly what they call the blasphemy law. And I have talked with Christians, though I will not give their names out for the sake of their safety, but I have communicated with Christians who are they're really standing on a thin line because of their lives are really standing on a thin line because of the blasphemy law in Pakistan, in that if you preach Christianity, if you encourage others to convert to Christianity, you no longer have the right to exist, and therefore you should die.
Ted, do they actually kill people over there for preaching Christianity?
Yes, I have actually read a true story that happened with one Christian.
Where do you read this stuff?
Who was murdered by Pakistani students because he was a Christian. His fingernails were pulled out of his hands. He was tortured in unbelievable ways. But to really go back to Islam and how this links with Islam, Muhammad the Prophet massacred the Jewish tribe of Banu Qurayza. And once you can accept that, then we can accept that Islam is not a moral religion. It's not really, it has morals, but it is not.
I'm listening right here.
No Islamic historian or nobody who studies the history of Islamic religion can deny that Muhammad massacred the Jews of Banu Qurayza tribe. And
that was a long time ago. What about today?
Because the caller is talking about Islam. He's saying that Muslims today kill people. It is not right because it is not based on the Islamic teaching. But I'm telling you that it is based on the Islamic teaching because Muhammad himself massacred Jews just because they were Jews. And there was one well-known Arabian historian who stated that Muhammad had such hatred for the cross that he destroyed any image that looked or that had any reminiscence to the cross, that looked any bit like a cross.
The cross you're speaking of, he hated the cross.
The Christian cross. I mean, it reminded him of Christianity.
Okay.
And there's also a story in the Hadith would say that Muhammad, when he was sleeping on his deathbed before he died, he heard one of his wives talk about the beauty of the Christian churches. And Muhammad got up in such anger that he screamed it out, burned down their churches. And talk about the Jews, the Jewish synagogues, burned down their holy places. Which is why in Ramallah, the Palestinians backed, or they totally defiled, the tombs of Joseph. They put human feces on the holy text, on the holy scriptures that lied in the Joseph's tomb.
Okay, fine. Well, let's let Assis go ahead and finish his thoughts, and then let him go. Assis, do you have anything else you'd like to say? Certainly, you feel the Muslim faith is good, that it's getting a bad rap. How would you feel about installing Sharia law here in the United States? Do you think maybe we should do that?
Well, first of all, it's not necessary, because when that was established, it was established a long time ago. People believe in different things. It's not really necessary now.
It's not necessary?
If you see Muslims in America, they don't really have that. They don't really have that idea. They don't really care. Like 99.9% are not going to care.
I'm sorry. You do not think we need Sharia law here, then?
No. Right. I don't think they need it in other countries, but they exercise because they don't understand the separation of church and state.
Do some Muslims want to install Sharia law here in the United States?
They walk with what?
Do some Muslims want to install Sharia law here in the United States?
Well, I'm sure that a bunch of Christians want to kill all the Jews too.
Wait a minute. The question is
a very broad statement you're saying there. Of course, someone out there in the United States is going to want that. Someone,
right?
But it's not a common idea
that we all share.
Those are not based on the idea.
Let Assis get his thoughts in, and then go right ahead, Assis, right. And then we'll let you go. Do you think that the Muslims are getting a bad rap? And there's nothing in the Quran or in the Hadith that suggests that Jews or Christians are second class citizens.
Well, first of all, yes, there's nothing in there that says that they're second class. In fact, they're said to be equals, if not even better.
Are they taxed differently in the Muslim nation?
Well, that's a political problem. It's just a country problem. It has nothing to do with religion at all.
It has nothing to do with the Quran. They will have to pay a special tax.
People say it has to do with it. It says it's in there, but it's really not, because it's just a problem with the countries. Countries don't want to govern everything the way they want it, so. I don't know how to explain it. It's just the way a country wants. Other countries don't. They don't understand why the United States has freedom of speech, but we think it's fine. So they can't argue about it because we're a completely different country.
Let Assis go ahead and have his say. Go ahead, Assis.
Okay, what was your other question, by the way?
Well, basically, of course, do you think why are the Christians being forced to leave Iraq today now that the country's under Sharia law? It wasn't under Sharia law before the United States went in and imposed Sharia law in Iraq. Why are the Christians fleeing from Iraq today? Could you explain that to me?
They're probably just afraid. And also, like I said, it just has to do with the state. That has nothing. But it's not, people will do things in the name of God. It really doesn't mean anything. Like 9/11 attacks were done in the name of God, but it was completely stupid and it should not have been done.
Well, no, wait a minute. What are the Christians afraid of? You know, why would they be fleeing Iraq? There used to be 10% of the population in Iraq was Christian, and now they've almost all left. What are they afraid of?
I think they're afraid of they're now coming to realize that there are terrorists there. They don't want them there. So they just want to be safe and probably want to leave.
In other words, basically they feel they'll be safer if they leave Iraq. But they were safe under Saddam, under the wicked Saddam Hussein. Certainly if you were a Christian, 10% of the population was Christian, and now it's down to about 1%, and the other 1% is trying to get out. Why are they leaving? I mean, who are they afraid of?
I don't know. I guess they're just afraid of the terrorists. They're just not...
Why aren't all the Iraqis afraid of the terrorists? Why aren't they all trying to get out? Why is it just the Christians are trying to get out?
Because they feel like they're being singled out. You know, like the terrorists are saying that they don't like Christians. They don't like anything. Anyone who's not Muslim. And so they're
who's not Muslim
in a country that it feels that very much way is going to want to leave.
But now, why don't the Iraqi government, which is a Muslim government, why doesn't it protect the Christians from these terrorists?
Like I said, it all has to do with church and state. They probably may want to agree with them. Maybe they just don't care.
Okay.
I don't really.
Okay, fine. Well, I appreciate so much. I just hope you continue listening. Do you have anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Ted, now you go ahead and you can go ahead and respond. But I wanted to give him a chance to have his say and Sydney, but how would you respond to him? Because you come from a Muslim family, don't you?
I have an Islamic background within my family heritage, but I would much rather have the caller address the things that I brought up, which he did not.
What are the points that you would like to bring out that you think are important?
The points that I already brought up with him was that Muhammad slaughtered pretty much all the Jews in Arabia, which is an historical fact.
He's going to say that that was in the past. Right now, because the Muslims don't feel that though. Way.
But he didn't say that was in the past. He just didn't even address anything I said. So my answers to him stand. And there's really nothing else I could say except the same things I already said. That if Islam is a peaceful religion, because his argument is that the things that Muslims are doing today is not based on the Quran. But I'm telling you that it is because Muhammad did the same thing. So my answers to the caller would be the same thing I told him. But he did not have, I don't know how to say it, but he just didn't really address it.
Well, because don't you think there are some Muslims in the United States today who would like to live peacefully and just stay here and enjoy this country and have the freedoms that we enjoy here?
I would also answer that and say that Muslims who wish to, or people who call themselves Muslims, who wish to live the American dream, are not really Muslim. Because, as a matter of fact, it's like a Christian, for example, says, I'm a Christian, but I do not believe in the divinity of Christ. Would you consider that man a Christian? No. You are a true Christian. You must believe in the divinity of Christ.
Right.
So it's the same thing with a Muslim. If a Muslim says, I believe in American ideas, how could you be a Muslim? Because by its very nature, Islam does not believe in borders. Islam does not believe in nationalism. And by its very nature, Islam does not believe in honoring any of the laws of the land, which is why Sharia law is trying to push itself everywhere Muslims are. England, they're trying to push Sharia law. Indonesia, they have already implemented certain parts of Sharia law. And in America, they're trying to do the same thing here. So a true Muslim does not honor the law of the land. And in the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, it states that the Constitution will be the law of the land. If you do not honor that, then, you know, you are very, as a matter of fact, I think you are a danger to the society.
Well, I think it was very interesting. The premier or the president of Australia recently said to the Muslims who were trying to bring Sharia law into Australia, she said, if you want to live under a Sharia law, you go back and you live in a Muslim country. But we have our laws here. They're Australian laws. And you want to live here, you live under our laws. And I think that, I think there could be some Muslims, I'm sure there are, quite willing to live under our laws. There's another radical component that wants to live under Sharia law, and they've actually introduced it in several communities in Michigan. There are certainly areas in Michigan where you get on the, you call into the local utility or something, and the first thing the woman says is, do you want your message in English, Spanish, or Arabic? Well, of course, those are the countries where they're trying, the communities are trying to get Sharia law introduced. And there really are a radical element that wants to bring in Sharia law. I think that a lot of Muslims certainly would like to live here, but you're absolutely right. They're not true Muslims. Basically, they have not, they're not adhering to the faith of, as laid out in the Quran, Hadith, and what's the other, the surah, is it?
Well, the surah is the Quran.
Okay, fine.
It's the same thing.
Aren't there three, the three basic books into the Muslim faith, aren't there?
No, there's two. There's the Quran and there's the Hadith. The surah is the chapters of the Quran.
All right, fine.
So in the Bible, we have chapter and verse. Well, in the Quran, they have surah, you know, 365, whatever verse you want to give out.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. And our guest is Ted Shobat, who comes from a Muslim family. Of course, they are evangelical Christians here, and they're trying to educate people about what's really going on in Sydney. Very deeply concerned about the tragic situation that's unfolding over in Israel, where I fear that it's only a matter of time before there's going to be another major war. And if there's a war there, I fear we're going to be involved one way or another. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Ted, you go right ahead with your thoughts.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Believes in the Muslim faith is written in the Hadith, is written in the Quran, and certainly follows exactly the things that Muhammad advocated. If people have read this, and we have a great 4-tape set called on Islam. Basically, we've recommended it's a very, very well done. And a number of interviews, certainly with a very man who had done a lot of study on this. And the good Muslims certainly want to follow the Muslim faith as laid out by Muhammad. The bad Muslim wants to live in peace with his neighbors, wants just to be left alone. But basically, of course, that is not what the Muslim faith fundamentally advocates, although I believe many Muslims, fortunately, living in America, are bad Muslims. In other words, they want to be Americans, they want to benefit from our way of life, and they don't necessarily want to change our structure of government. But there are others who do, and of course they want to institute Sharia law here in the United States. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there and you have a question or comment, we have with us Ted Shubat, who comes from a Muslim family. His father converted to Christianity and, of course, is a spokesman against the Palestinian terrorist movement, which he at one time was part and parcel of it. So, well, they're living here in America, and they're very, very insightful. And we've had a Waleed Shubat on our program a number of times. This evening we have Ted Shubat, his son. So go right ahead with your thoughts. Ted was just saying that the way things are over in Iraq, basically, of course, we've got rid of Saddam Hussein. But now, of course, we created a situation where in all probability, when they have their elections, why, of course, the Shia Muslims will win. They're fundamentalist. They hate the Sunnis. And, of course, by then both the Sunnis and the Christians will be certainly either reduced to second-class citizenship or slaughtered. But go right ahead, Ted.
Well, as I was saying, to resume what I was saying, what's going to happen is that once Iraq becomes Islamic fundamentalist government, which it will, emphatically, once the American forces leave, they will unite with Iran, because part of the Shiite prophecy is that Iran, Persia, will conquer Iraq. And that once that happens, Iran really will become a superpower. So Iraq, because of their Shiite beliefs, are already expecting the Iranians to conquer them. And once that happens, then Iran will become a superpower. So dismantling Saddam Hussein was by far one of the worst things that George Bush ever did. If not the worst thing Bush ever did, was the dismantling of Saddam Hussein.
I think you're absolutely right. And basically, of course, Bahrain, of course, is a predominantly Shia nation. It's controlled by the Sunnis. But, of course, we don't talk about one man, one vote in Bahrain. We've backed up the slaughter of the people who had rose up here recently and wanted to have a democratic election, because if they had a democratic election in Bahrain, why the Shias would win. And we don't want the Shias to win, at least not yet. But everything which seems to be we're doing is to build up this massive Shia bloc. It's going to include Iran, Bahrain, Iraq, and heaven only knows what else, because basically Syria is predominantly Sunni. It's controlled by the Shias, and of course, if the revolution that we're backing succeeds there, then of course all the Shias, about 15% of the population, will be slaughtered, and there'll be a great bloodbath in Syria. All of the things we're doing over there is promoting violence, and you have to ask yourself, why is the Obama administration and certainly the Republican administration before that doing everything they can to destabilize that part of the world? Have any thoughts on that at all, Ted?
Say that again, sorry, I didn't hear you.
Why is the American government, certainly under George Bush and now under Obama, trying to destabilize the Near East and the Middle East? Basically, certainly we're helping them overthrow the governments there in Egypt and Tunisia and Libya and Syria. And certainly we've already destabilized the governments in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Why would we do something that stupid unintentionally?
Well, I think that when it comes to the Bushes, I think that I could be wrong. This is from what I have heard. I think oil was a motive, because the Saudis were afraid that Saddam Hussein was going to attack their country, and that the Saudi government wanted to keep Iraq in check. So what better way than to dismantle Saddam Hussein? But another thing as well is,
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment with Ted Shubat at number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
As we raise our voices.
Well, go right ahead, Ted. We've got about a minute before I bring all of our stations back. But what were your thoughts then, Sydney? What's going on over there really doesn't make sense. It seems that when the dust settles, well, we're going to be a lot worse off than we were before. How can we possibly make any sense out of this?
Well, as I was saying earlier, Saddam Hussein was keeping Iran in check. Iran was crushed by Iraq, Iraq. And it was really because of Saddam that Persia did not, really wasn't doing the things they're doing now. Now Persia is very bold.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment here. All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We're just talking about, really, of course, the tragic situation that's developing over in the Near East. They keep talking about the Arab Spring. I think it's going to be the Arab nightmare. I think that we're going to see a destruction of the stable governments over there, imperfect as they are. I think they're going to be replaced with a radical Muslim Sunni regimes that will unite that whole area into a unified structure, either under the control of Turkey or under the control of Egypt. And, of course, that, I believe, of course, is going to present a terrible, terrible threat to Israel. But before we go on, Ted, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a copy of your book, and then, of course, get to your website.
Sure. The name of the book is called For God or For Tyranny, and they may get the book at tedshubat.com, amazon.com, as well as shubat.com, and WorldNet Daily also has it as well.
All right, fine. For God or for tyranny? And our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, what do you foresee happening over there, Sydney, in the Near East as far as Israel is concerned? Are they going to be involved in a major war, do you think, sometime in the next 6 months, year or two?
See, which country was it?
Israel.
Oh, Israel. Well, you know, I can't tell the future. I really can't. I did read somewhere that Turkey is going to Israel, to Gaza, and Turkey is really trying to become the mediator for peace in the Middle East, and trying to make peace between Israel and the other nations which are Islamic in the Middle East. And I think right now we will begin to see an age of a peaceful Islam that wishes peace in the Near East, in the Middle East, and therefore there will not be a war because they believe that we are now all brothers and it's not going to be any problems. And eventually what's going to happen is that, like the Oslo Peace Accord, that peace will be broken eventually.
All right, so I hope and pray that you're right. I have a much more pessimistic view than you have, but...
No. My view is still very pessimistic. I am saying that there will be a peace, but it will be a false peace.
All right.
Right. I'm very pessimistic about what's going to happen. I mean, but I don't think there's going to be an all-out war, guns blazing, right now. But I think what's going to happen in the near future is a false peace will last for a while, and then there will be a breaking of the peace.
All right, Sidney. I know that the head of the IDF, Israel Defense Force, has been certainly putting out some information that he's very, very concerned about the developing situation. Well, let's go to Tony, who's calling in from San Jose. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, Ted Shubat, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Tony. How are you doing there? Do you have a question or comment?
Good evening, Dr. Stanley.
Good evening.
Well, I'm wondering about Psalm 83 once again. If this could maybe be something that's going to lead up to what happens in Psalm 83. And the other
why don't you tell our listeners what Psalm 83 actually says, Tony?
Well, Psalm 83 starts out, I'm just going to paraphrase this, that there are 10 small nations surrounding Israel, and they all rise up and attack Israel because they want to extinguish the name of Israel from the earth. And there's these 10 little nations are all in the vicinity right around Israel. That's never been fulfilled. But then in Revelation, it talks about a man who comes along and takes three nations by force. And so I think about these two verses about the possibilities of like what maybe going on right now. I don't know. But it's certainly, that's why I'm just calling for either one of your
opinions. All right, fine. Well, let's get Ted's thoughts on that.
Thank you,
Tony. Are you acquainted with Psalm 83 and Christ's belief? Basically, a couple of, I think, 10 nations surrounding Israel are going to rise up and attack it. And, of course, as Tony points out, this prophecy has never been fulfilled in the past. There's one thing about the Bible, and that is that the prophecies of the Bible all seem to get fulfilled sooner or later. Some of them have not yet been fulfilled, but we can almost imagine that we're lining up to fulfill these. But what about this Psalm 83? Do you have any thoughts at all on that?
Yes, I do. I do. I've read through parts of Psalm 83. I'm somewhat familiar with it. In Psalm 83, it says, do unto them. I actually have it in front of me. It says, make their nobles like, it's talking about what Israel needs to do with their enemies. And it says, make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yea, all the their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna. And it's very interesting. This is 83 verse 11, to be specific. If you read in the book of Joshua, Gideon, the great warrior, the great hero of Israel, what does he do against the Moabites? He kills the two high priests, one named Zeba, the other one named Zalmunna. And he kills, after killing them, after slaying them, he takes from the necks of their camels, the crescent moon, and he cuts them off. They were idols, and Gideon is showing his scorn and his hatred for these idols. But the idols are crescents. And if you look at the symbol of Islam, it is the crescent. So when you say, do unto them as Zeba and Zalmunna, it is not only talking about defeating Israel's enemies, but it's also saying to defeat their idols, to dismantle their idols, dismantle their crescents. So yes, the caller is right in his concern for Psalm 83. It is very significant in that it is really talking about the defeat of the Islamic Empire, which is really going to rise again.
And I think you're absolutely right. I think that the Islamic Empire is actually going to unite and certainly come together. And as I said, it's either be under the leadership of Turkey. I think that's probably the way it's going to go. It could be certainly under the leadership of Egypt, because both of these countries in centuries past have been dominant forces. At one time, certainly Egypt was the dominant force in that whole part of the world. And then, of course, certainly up until about 100 years ago, for the preceding 300 or 400 years, the Ottoman Empire had been the dominant force in that part of the world. The Ottoman Empire really ceased to be after the Second World War. It was dismembered and broken down, and England and France went in there, and they took all sorts of warring groups and joined them together into countries like Iraq. Why would you make a country like Iraq with Kurds and with Shia and Sunni Muslims, all who hated one another, so it would be unstable so you could play one group against the other, control them? That's how the game is played. And that is why England created this country. We should allow these people to have their own unit. The Sunnis should be able to function independently from the Shias, from the Kurds. But, of course, that one has not been allowed. Why? Because I think that the United States has replaced Great Britain as the country that wants to be able to play one group against the other. And I don't think for 1 minute we want to pull our troops out of Iraq. We say they're all going to be out of there by the end of this year. But I think there's going to be something that will come up to justify our staying there. Why else would we have built this massive Sunni embassy there, the largest embassy anywhere in the world, with 17,000 employees there at the American embassy in Iraq? Why would you do that if you're going to pull your troops out of that country? I'll be very, very surprised if the majority of the troops ever leave by the end of this year. So I think basically, I mean, we see all these terrorist attacks over there, and I say, who benefits from that? Do the Shias benefit from the terrorist attacks over there? Because that just allows, you know, the Americans to stay. Do the Sunnis benefit from having the Americans there? They want to get rid of the Americans. And, of course, the only people who benefit from all these terrorist attacks is those people who want to keep American forces or justify American forces remaining in Iraq. I mean, it's not a very nice thing to say, but you have to ask who benefits from all the terrorists and the murders and the explosives and the roadside explosives and the terrorist attacks that are taking place and killing so many people in Iraq today. And it's certainly not the Kurds, it's not the Sunnis, or it's not the Shia Muslims. Be that as it may, are there any really important issues you'd like to talk? We've got about 10 minutes before we end the program. What are the important issues you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight, Ted?
Well, I bid the listeners really to become more historical. And I think one of the biggest problems with our society today is that we have become ahistorical. We have almost zero interest in history. Just look at what happened to the History Channel. Very little history, because the society is really ahistorical. It's not only apathetic, but it's ahistorical. And while we spend a lot of our time complaining about politicians, I think we need to not just blame the politicians, but we need to really blame ourselves. We need to look within ourselves, look ourselves in the mirror. What better reflection of the people than the government that rules over it? The politicians are careless. They are apathetic, just like many of the people in our society are careless and apathetic about what's going on. Politicians are not reliable, just like there are many people in our society who are not reliable. I mean, ask yourself, how many people have you met that are actually true to their word or are actually trustworthy? When my father was attacked by CNN, CNN did 2 episodes on him, and Drew Griffin and Anderson Cooper came up and they slandered him, called him, you know, Drew Griffin called him a fraud, and said that he was, his story did not come through. When my father was, he was very concerned about this. And in wanting to, get people to support him, it's very difficult to find people to support him. My father, has spoken to many churches, has supported many people, many groups, has helped many people. But when the time came that he needed support, it was very difficult to find people to help him, to encourage him. So it's the same thing with our society. How many people, how many people do we meet that is actually trustworthy, that is actually encouraging, actually will keep true to the word? Not a lot. It's the same thing with politicians. How many politicians are out there that are actually true to their word, that actually are reliable? Not a lot. So like I said earlier, I posed the question, what better reflection of the people than the government? And vice versa, what better reflection of the government than the people? So we need to also look within ourselves and our own problems and realize that our problem is that we react to things emotionally and not objectively. For example, we like Mitt Romney because of his good looks. We like him because he is charismatic. We like certain politicians because they are charismatic. We like Obama because he was charismatic. Not because of his morality, not because of the God that he follows, not because of his character. The fact is that we should be supporting somebody not because of their charisma, but because of their character, because of their worldview.
I'm into that, and of course, Newt Gingrich may be very, very charismatic, but I wouldn't trust him any further than I could.
No,
throw.
I would not trust Newt Gingrich.
Okay, let's go to Bob, who's calling us from Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Bob. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask your guest, Ted, is Waleed Shubat, is that your father?
Yes.
I wanted to tell you he's a wonderful man. I have listened to him on many programs and think the world of him, and you must be so proud to have him as your father. And I just want to say God bless you, and you're both in my prayers.
God bless you too, sir. Thank you very much for the compliment.
Thank you, Bob. I think that sometimes wouldn't you have been on the front lines and come under vicious attack by the establishment as Waleed has? Why, of course, you need words of encouragement like that.
Well, there's lots of Christians praying for them and love them, and we know what they're up against.
Well, of course, the other side controls the media. Fortunately, we have the alternative media programs such as this, where we are getting the truth out and where we certainly have given Waleed the opportunity to express himself and certainly to meet those charges made against him, which, of course, are totally foundless. But then, basically, whenever you become effective, you can be sure that the establishment and certainly Anderson Cooper is part of that establishment will come out against you and try to discredit you. Anything else you'd like to say, Bob, before we let you go?
Nope, that's it. Great show. Great guest.
God bless. Okay, fine.
God bless.
Bye-bye. And, that was Bob calling from Lansing, Michigan. Of course, we have a station there this evening, and we have one in Flint, Michigan. And so at least in the evenings, why? Because we cover that area, though it's fairly late back there. It's pushing almost 1 o'clock in the morning, but we do have listeners all across the country. We have cover upstate New York. We cover certainly Cincinnati, Ohio, Lexington, Kentucky, I believe it is, this time of night. We're fortunate to have people all across America listening to our programs. So if you'd like to help us, why, of course, you know how to reach us. Go right ahead, Ted. You've got about 4 minutes to wrap up the program. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
That I think that we as Christians, we need to pray, but at the same time, we also need to do action. Prayer without action is vain, in my opinion. When we are able-bodied to do things, when we do things within the limits as a citizen, the limits that we are given by a citizen, when we do things within those limits based on the amendment, I think when we are able-bodied to do these things, I think we should do them. We have the freedom of assembly, we have the freedom of speech, we have the freedom of protesting, and we need to do more of these things, not just pray. Prayer is important, but it's also even more important to do action. Gideon prayed to God, but as well he did action. Solomon prayed to God, but he did action. Christ prayed to God, but he did action. So we need to use prayer as a supplement, but at the same time we need to do action. Action is very important.
I believe you're absolutely right, and I think that basically we're called to do our best. We're called to try to wake up people, to try to get people to think, to try to get them to understand what has happened in the past, because the past is prologue to the future, and those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So, we're moving, I think, into one of the most difficult and dangerous times in our nation's history. My guest this evening has been Ted Shobat, where he's simply been talking about the Muslim faith, about his dad's effort to awaken the American people to the very real threat we face today and the real threat that Israel faces. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Ted, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right.
Go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes, and I won't interrupt you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States
form of government was made only for a moral and religious people that could govern themselves. It would not work for any other. Because, of course, if people are not going to be following God's law, well, you're going to have moral anarchy, which is exactly what we have in America today. And I think we're moving into some very difficult times. It could be the best thing that ever happened, because only when times get bad to begin people looking for answers. And I don't have the answers, but God does, the scriptures do. And we just hope that there's going to be a great revival and a rekindling of those ideas of God and family and country that once made America the envy of the world. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're out there across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. And, of course, we do have an opportunity to get a great new station down in Riverside. And it's not, I've got the price down where we can afford it if we can just get a few pledges. If you'd like to make a pledge for 6 months or a one-time pledge, why, of course, would like to get the station and, of course, reach that large audience down there. It gets down very close to certainly the Los Angeles Basin. We do have a program in the Los Angeles Basin, certainly every Saturday at noon on one of the largest stations in that area. It's K-Bright. And we have an awful lot of listeners. We have a 50,000-watt station in Northern California. We have our station here. We have, of course, KKMC. We have a station down in the south of or southeast of Los Angeles. So we have the state fairly well covered. But I'd certainly like to get that station down. Riverside.
AP Radio News. I'm Brian Thomas. 1,000 homes destroyed in Texas by a raging wildfire that refuses to be tamed. William Clements says his family's home was wiped out by the blaze.
It was kind of a shock yesterday.